Bad Sessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
I was on NFL Network most of the night, and then the Clippers-Spurs took over. I didn't sit there and watch the draft from start to finish. It's not my thing. I was very interested on several of the picks. I was back and forth, you know, and I even checked out a little bit more fight stuff. It really is fight day and fight weekend. Think about it tomorrow. Guys, here's how it goes tomorrow for you. You got to do something today for her, okay? Or give her the, look, next week is Mother's Day. I will totally take care of you next week. But honey, you have to understand that tomorrow, Saturday, it's day three of the NFL draft. There's lots of important things in the draft, like who is going to be Mr. Irrelevant. So I have to watch the draft starting. What do you think, Eric? It's like 11 tomorrow? Is that the deal on the draft? Is it like 11 o'clock?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Wow, okay. So, honey, make me a Bloody Mary while I put my feet up, and you go take the kids somewhere, and I'm going to watch the draft. Oh, by the way, when the draft is over, the Kentucky Derby is on, and I put down a couple of bobs on this horse. And, oh, by the way, when the Derby's over, the Clippers-Spurs game gets started about 45 minutes in between. In those 45 minutes, I'll take you to Chick-fil-A through the drive-thru. And when that gets over with, then the fight happens. So basically, honey, from 9 a.m. Saturday morning until about, I don't know, 10 o'clock Saturday night, I'm busy. I'm too well to attend. So, guys, that's what tomorrow is facing you, okay?
I'm least excited about the Derby of all those events.
But the Derby's short.
Yeah, but I'm just not a horse racing guy. It's fine. I might have it on. The draft is great on Saturday, Brad, because you can multitask. You can do laundry. You can unload the dishwasher. You can get stuff done around the house and just have the draft on.
There's no question. No, that's right. Well, actually, I was doing that last night. Last night felt like, and it's because I've seen these things for 30 plus years, and it's very exciting for some people. This was not a draft that had a whole lot of highs and lows. Peter King's going to be with us in about 15 minutes. Don't get me wrong. I'm following it, and it's what we do here, but it's not like the world came to an end. Last year, there was the Johnny Manziel explosion on Twitter, on social media. There was just this, who is going to be the dope that takes him? And will the Dallas Cowboys be able to resist the temptation of going through the buffet line and taking the largest piece of cheesecake that's sitting there when they shouldn't? And they did, and Cleveland were the fools that did so. So last night, and I'll get more into Jameis in a minute. I mean, the guy just followed up after his draft by acting like a complete fool once again. So I'll get into that here momentarily. Peter King and, of course, the MMQB, none better than Peter King. He joins us live in about 10:20. Goody at the movies. The Avengers is out. That's the other thing. You could take her to go see Avengers tonight or really early tomorrow morning, and guys, you'd still be fine. So... And I guess Goody talked to Morgan Freeman this week, which
he did.
That's when the phone call comes in. Do you think it's recording? How many times have Morgan Freeman's been asked, "Hey, can you do my recording on my cell phone?"
Well, Goody's talked to so many big names. For him, it's just like, oh,
well, he talks to us every week.
It's like,
I mean, what are you talking about?
Okay, I don't think you heard what I said.
Excuse me.
He talks to big names.
Oh,
big names,
right,
not big people. Big names.
What are you saying?
Nothing.
I had one donut. Let's get you caught up. Something's on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Look, the Honda Resort and Casino are coming into a terrific weather time. And they've got entertainment in the Timbers Lounge every weekend. Knock yourselves out. Tonight, tomorrow, through the weekend, you pull down on the slot. You eat some great food. You have some fun anywhere around the state or around the country. You take in Sports 360 AZ. You go up to the northeastern part of Arizona to Pine Top, beautiful Pine Top. You stay at the Honda Resort Casino, great rooms, great food, great fun. Take in the high country during the day and at night. Pull down those slots or just never leave the Honda Resort and Casino through the weekend. That's the Honda Resort and Casino, a big part of Sports360AZ.com since day number one. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains, Honda Resort and Casino. Peter King here shortly. I hope that there is no nonsense in Las Vegas this weekend with gangs coming in, because when there are huge events in Vegas, sometimes that stuff happens. Mayweather-Pacquiao tomorrow night could start at 8:30, could start, I don't know, whenever the pay-per-view sales slow down, that's when it will start. Here is Jimmy Vaccaro, the wise guys, 40 years he's been the bookmaker in Vegas. He joined me earlier on this fight.
Yes, not even close. Sometimes the hype doesn't equal the event, but in this case, so far, it's been something I've never witnessed in 40 years of being here in Las Vegas.
Could the storylines, the great storylines to tomorrow night's fight, add to it?
You have one fighter fighting for his legacy, and make no mistake about this, my friend, Pacquiao's fighting for a country.
So I would like to see Pacquiao win. I've been on that bandwagon all week, because if Pacquiao wins, then there's a rematch. If Mayweather wins, I don't see any way that there's a rematch at all. This is not killing it in Vegas all the way through and through. I'll get into that a little bit later on. There's been a precipitous drop, like a rock off the top of a building here in the last 24 hours in terms of trying to get in. Now, the average ticket above 40 grand per ticket for this fight, above 40 grand. And we'll have more on that as the show moves on. Did Jameis Winston fool Tampa Bay like Johnny Manziel fooled Cleveland? You know, when you look at the leap of faith taken by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I don't know, was it a David Thompson leap of faith? Was it a Michael Jordan leap of faith? Was it a James Worthy leap of faith? Was it a Dominique Wilkins leap of faith? Who are some of the all-time great leapers? Eric? Dominique?
Clyde Drexler.
Was it a Clyde Drexler leap of faith by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night? Because once Jameis Winston was taken, I don't know. I didn't have a problem with him not being in Chicago. It's fine. The stuff that he did afterwards, again, goes back to, man, oh man, am I glad I'm not the Tampa Bay Buccaneers ownership group. Other than you have a decimal point way down the line, you're going to have headaches on this one. The guy decided, Jameis Winston decided, hey, what a great idea. Let's have a red carpet celebration at our house. That's really smart. Oh, and then let's put it out on social media, and we're going to celebrate by having crab legs.
It's funny, though, because, Brad, for the most part, at least on my timeline, social media was sort of split on that. Some people were like, you know what? Good for Jameis Winston. He overcame all this. He's still the number one pick. And then there are the others that are just like, oh, my gosh, just let it go. Seriously, you are so self-serving.
You don't need to pull attention to yourself.
Self-serving and crab legs wasn't the right combination of words.
That's just not funny. I don't think that, for me, I don't find any humor in that at all. That, again, is him saying, read between the lines. I got over on all of you. That's all that was. And if you pull attention to yourself, I don't know, do you think Andrew Luck would do that? No.
No.
You think Russell Wilson would do that? Okay.
This pick is going to go. This pick is going to go one of two ways.
Yeah.
This pick is going to. He's either going to be a perennial Pro Bowler, or he will be an absolute disaster. There will be no. He's a decent quarterback. He sticks around the league for 5 or 6 years. It's going to go to one extreme or the other in Tampa Bay.
So the Buccaneers told him to take it down, according to Rick Stroud down in Tampa. So they're already in my book. They're already 0-1. PR people had to have seen it, or somebody in the organization had to have seen it. And I'm sure that they just didn't say, oh, it's so funny. Hey, Jameis, why don't you take this down? Red carpet? And then the guy, you know, the NFL Network coverage I thought was pretty darn good, because it was not a compelling draft. If you thought that was a compelling draft, then your difference of compelling and mine are like night and day. It was not compelling.
It was nothing like the opening of free agency where you had trades and players signing every 2.5 minutes. It was pretty standard.
Right. And you know, in fairness, the star players, even all the wide receivers that were taken, it wasn't like there was this huge buzz. You know, Leonard Williams going to the Jets, that was a surprise, but he's a darn good football player. And I don't know, last time I checked, Todd Bowles is a defensive coach. So it's really not that hard. Like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that they're doing this. Tell you what, man, if you're the Cardinals and Todd Gurley's now in your division and you got Marshawn up in Seattle, no matter what the nonsense is, I think today you can say here's what teams have done in the offseason. Now, sure, there's second-round picks and third-round picks that can come in and make an impact, but by and large, we pretty much know where they are now. Free agency is done. We'll talk with Peter about it here in a couple of minutes. Takes me over to the Cardinals. So there were directions that they could have gone, and I think, in my humble opinion, when people say they should have taken Jalen Strong, it's, guys, just because he's a hometown football player doesn't mean that you should take him. So when Roger Goodell stepped to the podium and he didn't butcher this announcement like he did with Marcus Mariota, or Mariota, or me, you know.
Mariota.
Yeah, sure.
Here's the commish.
The 24th pick in the 2015 NFL draft, the Arizona Cardinals select DJ Humphreys. Tackle.
Yay. That's about what it should get. A yay. But for those of us that have been here longer than a nanosecond and saw a team that did not want to address the offensive line at all, except when it came to Levi Brown, and Lyle Sendline had gotten older, had gotten beat on, and Lyle moved on, really good guy, that happens. If you don't address the offensive line, then you are left for guys like Bobby Massey, and then you're left to try to say really nice things about players that really can't play the game as a starter. And that's what Bruce Arians was left with. That's what Steve Keim was left with. And so for the last couple of years, what have they done? You know, this last offseason, they dumped money into Mike Iupati coming over from the 49ers. A year ago, they dumped money into Jared Veldheer. Veldheer ended up being terrific. They ended up drafting Jonathan Cooper. We'll see about Jonathan Cooper. This is not a sexy pick. So by and large, what I've gotten from Cardinal fans is, oh, this wasn't a great pick, and they should have done Jalen Strong. Like, come on. Are you guys hearing yourselves? Is that really the need? I don't know. Carson Palmer got pounded on twice. And Carson Palmer is brittle. There's no other way to put it. So are there better offensive lines? What I thought was interesting about this pick, DJ Humphreys, I wrote about this morning. He's an offensive lineman, so he's a mammoth dude. His dad was a wide receiver. How's that work? He was a wide receiver in the Arena League. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And they're putting the money up front. Eric totally had Demarius Randall nailed. Of all the Sun Devils, because we traveled every ASU home and road game. We were at every game doing stuff. So, of course, you had him pegged as a first-round pick this
year. I had him nailed
year.
As a guy. Yeah, he might get drafted. He can't tackle. He's a fast cover guy. I get it. And then all of a sudden after the combine, it's, hey, Demarius Randall's kind of sneaking up draft boards. And then as of a couple weeks ago, it's like, this guy could be a first-round draft pick. And last night, it actually happened that he became a first-round draft pick.
Here's so. Demarius Randall. He was asked, after being drafted by the Packers, do you want to play corner or safety?
Honestly, I can play both. I mean, really, corner is fun to be out there up on the island. And safety kind of being back there controlling the back end is also fun. So, I mean, either one, just kind of being up on the field is just kind of my mindset.
So there's Demarius Randall getting it done. We'll take a break. On the other side, Peter King. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. So one of the interesting side stories to last night's draft is there were 32 players taken in the first round. 19 states were represented. Peter King's going to join us here in a moment. Once again, Arizona had a player drafted in the first round, Andres Pete out of Corona del Sol High School. Corona del Sol High School was not good at all, but Andres Pete always stood out. Last year was Taylor Lewan out of Chaparral High, went to Tennessee. 2013, it was Deion Jordan. We all talked about that tragic story earlier this week out of Chandler High. And in 2011, we had Prince Amakamura from Apollo and Cameron Jordan out of Chandler, who went 24th to New Orleans. My point on this is it's great that in our state, from high school to college to pro, and even Demarius Randall was a JUCO kid that the Packers took in the first round last night. He was over at Mesa Community College. I remember when he signed with ASU, people were like, what is this? Todd Graham has come in, and he's made a living off of junior college players. Jalen Strong will be taken tonight. Demarius Randall goes out. Last year was Marion Grice. Remember, Marion went over to San Diego and then went to the Cardinals. So some good stuff here within the state. Peter King joins us now. All things around the National Football League, SI.com, senior NFL writer, the MMQB editor and chief. How are you, Peter?
Brad, how's it going?
Pretty darn good. What was the one highlight of highlights for Peter King in Chicago last night?
Well, I started to get the feeling that number two was not going to move. I had talked to somebody who, on Wednesday night, late, who said, this is probably not going to happen. But we're going to leave a light on for teams because who knows? I think one of the interesting things, Brad, is that when you think about it, the Tennessee Titans don't have people in their organization who really know Chip Kelly.
Mm.
So even though by the time Wednesday had ended and phone calls were done on Wednesday and they were getting ready for draft day, I think the Titans basically felt like, hey, maybe Chip, as we keep reading in the media, is going to do something really incredible for this pick. So let's see what happens. And then Kelly did nothing yesterday. I know there was a lot of noise. And they did their due diligence and made phone calls up to the top, but nothing at all ever got close. And I think, I'm not saying I was surprised that Tennessee Hank hung on to the pick, but I kept thinking to myself, if this pick gets traded, if you go back to the Nick Foles trade, this could be the biggest trade for a player in NFL history. Because I think it could have been as much as four ones, a two, and a four, and a starting quarterback in Nick Foles. That's, in essence, what they would have had to trade for him, because obviously Foles brought Bradford, and Bradford would have had to have been traded either, as a player or to get a draft pick from Cleveland in order to include that in the trade. So it would have been just crazy. And Chip Kelly decided, as he said all along, I'm not going to mortgage the future. And he did.
He would have been the present day Mike Ditka. Would we ever see another one of those type of things where six picks for Ricky Williams takes place? Do you think we'll ever see that again?
I don't know. It's possible. People get desperate around draft time. But, that was 1999. I wrote about that, in fact, today, because yesterday, Ken Wisenhunt, I talked to him last night. And he told me that Andy Reid and he talked yesterday, and Reid reminded him of that Mike Ditka pick in 1999, or that Mike Ditka trade offer, where he wanted to come all the way up to two, and Reid, at the time, liked a quarterback from Syracuse named Donovan McNabb. So he respectfully declined the offer, and New Orleans ended up making a deal with Washington for six picks. And, I think as Andy Reid told Ken Wisenhunt, it's great to get all these picks, but if you don't have a quarterback you're comfortable with,
sure,
100 picks don't mean anything because you're not going to win without a quarterback.
Well, it's like out here, and we're talking with Peter King, the MMQB, senior NFL writer. You can check out all of his content. MMQB is the site to head over to. Today, there's not a lot of celebration one way or the other. There's some people out here that are all wound up that they didn't take Jalen Strong. To me, that doesn't make sense. DJ Humphries is not a pick that was going to move the needle, but in my view, it's a terrific pick. Given the fact that we've seen the Bobby Masseys of the world sit here on the offensive line, and they never address the offensive line during the Rod Graves era. And in the last 2 years, Steve, in my opinion, has pushed himself for executive of the year every year by finally going out and saying it's Iupati and Humphries and Valdir, and we'll see if Cooper comes through. I like what they've done here on the line.
I think this puts a lot of pressure on Jonathan Cooper to finally become something, because look at everything that they've done, all the draft capital and free agency capital they've spent, obviously, with Iupati. As the free agent this year, I think it's important now that Cooper become somewhat near the player that they thought they had drafted. And let me say this: I don't think that it's imperative that a guy becomes a star like Brandon Scherff, pick number five by Washington. Calling around last night and talking to a couple of people this morning, they think he was vastly overdrafted. A lot of people like Eric Flowers better than him. But whatever. My whole point about that is, look, Eric Flowers is an Eagle Scout type, or not Eric Flowers, Brandon Scherff is an Eagle Scout type guy. He's going to play in the league for 12 years. He's an incredibly reliable, tough, physical guy, versatile guy. What's wrong with having a good, solid starter, even if you have to take him at number five? That's better than reaching for something you're not sure of, and 2 years later you're saying, wow, we got a bust here. He's not that good. So I thought it was okay, and I think just in general, I like what the Cardinals did too, particularly because you look at the quarterback, you're in a division that's going to rush the passer great. And you got a quarterback who's not very mobile.
Yep.
So, you know, obviously the most important thing is to buttress that offensive line. Now, I think that if push came to shove, they would have probably rather, I'm pretty sure they would have rather had Eric Flowers. But he was gone so early that that became a moot point, you know, an hour into the draft.
Well, and I think today is going to be a running back day for the Cardinals. I really believe that Abdullah is, from what I'm hearing, you may be hearing different, but Abdullah is a guy that
they like. I think they like Amir Abdullah. Yeah. I think the one problem with Amir Abdullah is that I think that this is an accurate statement. It's very close if it isn't 100%. He's got the smallest hands of any prospect in the draft this year, and he had a fumbling problem. You know, at Nebraska, could turn into a project for somebody to make sure that he stops fumbling. But I think as a runner and as a versatile back, I just think he's fantastic. But again, you have to decide if you're going to live with some fumbles or if you think you have a plan to cure the fumbling out of them.
The MMQB's Peter King with us for a couple of minutes breaking down the draft. Look at the NFC West off of last night in the offseason. Has the balance of power shifted at all out of Seattle, in your opinion?
Seattle's draft was Jimmy Graham, really. And so Seattle hasn't gotten any worse. Seattle's the same team. Yeah, they lost some especially defensive backfield help in free agency, but I mean, whoever thinks that Byron Maxwell's worth $11 million a year, I'd probably like to argue with you pretty vehemently on that. But I think the Seahawks are still, you know, the power team of the division. And then I think it goes Arizona, and then San Francisco and the Rams, I think, basically are an entry right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams, Peter, if they could address their offensive line, I think they're doing some good things there. But at some point, that narrative's been going on the last 2-3 years. They're doing some good things. At some point, that's got to pop, right?
Yeah, they've got to. Today, their pick, absolutely. And you know what? I think they were very intent. If they didn't get Gurley, they absolutely unequivocally would have taken Andres Pete.
Mm.
So, you know, for some reason, I talked to Les Snead last night. They thought that there was a good chance that that somebody was going to take Gurley ahead of them at 10. I didn't think that at all. I thought that was really, and this is crazy because people were saying, what are you talking about, a value pick? I think it's a great value pick, not because a lot of people thought that Todd Gurley was going to go in the top 10, but it's a value pick because he will vastly outplay his rookie contract. And in year 3 of his rookie contract, people are going to say, oh my gosh, this guy is making whatever the numbers are. He's making $1.5 million this year, and he's a top 3 NFL running back. And as Adrian Peterson goes into the twilight, Todd Gurley is going to be there to take his place. And again, I don't know if he's going to be as good as Adrian Peterson. That would be saying something. But I think he's going to be really, really good.
Give me a quick thumbnail on some local angles within Arizona, and that's Andres Pete and what the feeling was on Pete last night with the Saints.
I think the Saints all along felt the way that that the Rams did. They were, and the Giants too, they were convinced that they had to go offensive line if it was even close in the first round. And the Rams obviously had, and I reported this last night, that Todd Gurley was the number one player on their board. Now, if he's not there, they would have gone Pete. And so I think the Saints are in a massive turnover time for protection on their offensive front. I expect them to take another probably a guard very high, probably second or third round today. I think they've got picks in both rounds. I think they're going to do that. And then I think beyond that, I just think they felt that Andrus Peat is one of the most reliable, solid players in this draft.
Demarius Randle, Green Bay.
Well, Demarius Randle was going to go as high as Philadelphia at 20. And he's really risen the ladder in the last few weeks, I think, because so many teams look at his varied skill set. I've heard, Ted Thompson last night said he's bringing him in to be a cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the majority of people in this league would say we see him as a free safety. But, you know, he's going to be one of those. He's going to play a lot. He can also play nickel. He's had experience all over the map. So I think Green Bay is a perfect spot for him because Green Bay needs corner help, and they're also a little bit thin depth-wise at safety.
Do you hear anything about Jalen Strong sliding out of the first round? The wrist injury was a concern.
That surprised me a little bit.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to get picked in the first round, lower in the first round. But I just think it's the depth at the position, Brad. There were just so many good ones that I think that ended up dragging his value down some.
Two other questions. We'll let you go. What do you expect today at the top of round two? You have an order yet? Do you have a feel yet?
Well, let's see. Tennessee picks first, Tampa second. I think one of those two teams is going to pick T.J. Clemmings, the tackle from Pitt. I guess it would be Tampa. And I think Tennessee could go in a lot of different directions. They've got, you know, at some point fairly soon, somebody's going to take Randy Gregory. Because he's got rare tools, it's just that nobody knows if off the field he's going to be okay or if he's going to be a problem.
Last question. I'm sorry, Peter. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say those are two guys who really stick out to me right away.
Last question. Who did not sleep well last night as an NFL franchise?
I think the Buffalo Bills didn't sleep well because, you know, they're not picking until midway through the second round. They've got a lot of needs that Doug Whaley, the general manager, wants to fill. And I think I don't think there's massive second-guessing, but I think there's a little second-guessing in their organization about Sammy Watkins and whether he's good enough to have been worth two ones and to have traded out of the 2015 first-round slot to get him. So I think the Bills are going to be very, very anxious to make a pick of a guy who's going to play right away.
I know your time is valuable. I appreciate it as always. Enjoy Chicago. Thank you, Peter.
All the best, Brad. Thank you.
Take care. This is Peter King for a couple of minutes. Always good to have Peter on board. Peter King, SI.com senior NFL writer, the MMQB editor-in-chief, all things around the NFL draft. Good stuff there. On the other side, there's more on the draft I want to get to. Hear from Steve Keim and Bruce Arians on the DJ Humphreys pick. Again, it's just a solid pick on their part. Unless you sit here 2 years from now and it's Jonathan Cooper times two, if Cooper doesn't turn into anything, then you look at it and say they didn't evaluate offensive linemen. Greg Popovich went off last night. I mean, he ripped his team last night, and we'll have some sound from him on that. And much, much more as we continue on. Goody at the movies, is the Avengers worth seeing or not? He talked to Samuel Jackson earlier this week. Not Samuel Jackson. What am I saying? He talked to Morgan Freeman this week. We'll talk to Goody. That's coming up.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Diamondbacks are on the road against the Dodgers this weekend. I don't think they're facing Kershaw. Neither if they did, they battered him around. Last night, along with the draft, I was back over on Clippers-Spurs. I can't get Clippers-Spurs away from me. Most of the other NBA playoffs, I could care less about Brooklyn. Who care? I could care less about Portland. None of these series are really that compelling, but the Clippers, it feels like a Western Conference Finals. And so last night, I watched that. Eric, were you on that last night too?
No, I was at the draft, but I saw the highlights. I went back and watched SportsCenter a couple times, and it looked like a good game. And I'm honestly quite surprised the Clippers won.
So through six games, the Spurs have outscored the Clippers 615 to 610. That's how close this series has been in six games. And anytime Greg Popovich goes nuts, now last night Kawhi Leonard was 3 of 15 and Duncan was in foul trouble. So for him to come out, this is Popovich after the game. Remember, his big man's in foul trouble. Leonard couldn't hit a shot. They ended up losing by four in a closeout game. And here's Greg Popovich afterwards.
I don't know how we stayed in the game, to be honest with you. It was very disappointing to see the group approach it. Again, there's a guy here and there that got after it. But at the offensive end, we have to move the ball and play to win.
I mean, he said later we should be embarrassed in the way we came out for a closeout game in every regard.
And this is all scripted and set up, and this goes back to the fact that, you know, he needed to light a fire, and by going out...
Now, when you say scripted and set up, you thought that this was put out there that they were going to lose the game?
Because
His comments.
It's, you know, this was not directed towards the media. This was directed towards his team.
Sure. No, but you know what, Eric, on that, you're right. But that's always been his case. That's how he's operated. And you feel like at some point, Manu Ginobili is going to sit on a plane and say, you know what, screw this. I've heard this voice for 10 years. I've heard it enough. Or Tony Parker, yeah, whatever. I've heard this voice. I've heard it enough. Or Tim Duncan. And it never is the case.
No.
It always works. It always works. Like you, the other night when the Bulls blew away Milwaukee, Thibodeau did the same sort of thing. And he should have, in his case. They haven't won anything in Chicago. They're like a Jekyll and Hyde team. But when Popovich goes to this card, usually what happens is they come out and they crush the opponent. So tomorrow night, yeah, I'm going to be watching Clippers Spurs.
People were using pagers when Tim Duncan started playing the NBA.
Isn't that crazy? That's nuts. No, it is. That's nuts. You know, the draft coverage last night, Mayock is great. David Shaw, why is David Shaw coaching still at Stanford? David Shaw was so good last night in his analysis. I just thought he was solid. And the NFL Network went out to their second group of Michael Irvin, who's fine. Kurt was Kurt. I felt bad for Kurt. Kurt's there to analyze quarterbacks. Okay, 15 minutes in, you're done. He could have taken a flight home an hour into the show. Just please leave. You know, so they try to dress it up. You know, what do Marshall and Kurt think of the Rams pick with Todd Gurley? But it kind of had the feel of Kurt watching him like, I got my kids at home. Get me on a flight. Get me out of here.
And I think the general consensus is more people are now watching the NFL Network for the draft than ESPN.
Oh.
And the people that I've talked to and things I saw on social media last night.
Well, you know what? I swung by ESPN. I couldn't get out of there fast enough. It has the feel of these guys that have been there forever and are living off of what they did 25 years ago, and they have a big contract, and part of their big contract is to roll out and do a draft, and it's totally taking care of the league. Not that the NFL Network doesn't do that either. One of the very few low points of that broadcast last night was the over and over replay of Leonard Williams, I believe it was, picking up Commissioner Goodell and showing Roger being Roger and laughing. I thought it was great that Roger got booed every time he came out. He should get booed. He got his ass booed. He should. That was great. The part that's painful for me is Deion Sanders. That's just, I don't know whatever happened to the, what do you think you're bringing to the franchise, rather than what are you feeling right now? You're so blessed. You're so lucky. You're so fortunate. No joke. Tell me something I don't know. What are you thinking? You must be very happy. No, this blows. I can't believe that I'm stuck here. Of course he's going to say that. And they toss the guy with Jameis Winston, and nobody's going to have the backbone, or these networks aren't going to let these guys say, Jameis, you have a red carpet here. Isn't that a little much considering where you were?
Especially on the NFL Network. I mean,
that would never happen.
That would never fly.
They'll never fly.
Someone would get fired.
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't even get an audition because you're brought here to say that we are great. However, I thought Rich Eisen was very good in one point of his conversation last night with the Shane Ray stuff. Shane Ray made a monumental, dumb-ass thought, just went out of his way the week that he's getting drafted to get popped for marijuana in his car. Okay, and the jokes for that were just too easy going to Denver.
Yeah.
They were just too easy. It was nice that some of the media in Denver pointed out that, you know, marijuana is not tolerated in the NFL, but, you know, it's violation. The broadcast, I didn't even bother. I can't even get over to ESPN. It's so over, so done. We'll talk to Good Eat the Movies about that as well. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. The other night I was at Marley's sitting with General Manager Tim Hovick from Santan Ford, and he had one of his new employees in to meet his crew. And we were sitting there having a couple of adult beverages, just talking about how things are going at the dealership, how the year is going. There's some pretty big news that's going to be coming out in the next week or so around Ford in Arizona and sports. I'll leave it at that. And Tim and I were talking about that. And, of course, he's always interested in how we're doing here over at sports360az.com. Since day number one, Santan Ford has been all about us and helping us through. When I left Channel 3, Tim said, "What are you doing?" I said, "This is where I'm going. It's digital. It's all going here to your phones." He says, "I'm with you." And that's the way it goes. It's been terrific. Great partnership. I drive the 2015 Ford Fusion, the hybrid version. This morning, I was up really early this morning off the draft. I was writing something for the site at 4 a.m. Fell back to sleep. Before I know it, it was a little bit later than usual. But I didn't panic. I didn't need to swing by the gas station. I get 52 miles to the gallon in my Fusion. The freeway was actually tolerable today. Jared, it was kind of tolerable today. Jared Nielsen and I got to deal with the 101. It was tolerable. The cruise up here, and I've got some business to take care of afterwards. It's a flip-flop Friday. You know, you have some fun. Driving around in the Ford Fusion from Santan Ford. Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Goody at the Movies is next. What did he think of the Avengers? It starts. It's out. Guys, with all the sports going on this weekend, you want to hit the Avengers today to take care of her? And he also talked to the great Morgan Freeman. We'll hear about that conversation next. Now, because the Avengers is out, and talking of the great Morgan Freeman is far more interesting than breaking down DJ Humphreys, here's Bill Goodigans. Goody at the Movies, Easy Central Chief Film and Media Critic. How are you, Bill?
Yeah, I'm fine. You may eat those words eventually.
I might. Let's just get this right out of the way. Speaking of eating, you and I, for whatever reason, are supposed to get together and have a lunch or a dinner or something at some point, okay?
Yes.
At some point. Now, we have to quit avoiding one another.
Well,
all right? I don't want to hear about it. I'm busy interviewing Morgan Freeman or I'm seeing the Avengers. At some point, would you please work me in your calendar?
I will do that. I can tell you what's happened in my calendar is a combination of kids in different schools, different spring breaks, and then, dun, 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 my youngest kid got mono.
Oh, yeah. Did he get mono the right way, or she?
No, I hope not. She's only nine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got mono the right way back in the day. So,
I got it. Man, that stuff's brutal.
That stuff was brutal. I lost a lot. I wish I'd get mono now. Dropped 20 in a hurry.
Best diet I ever was on.
Because
I literally could not swallow it.
All right, before we get to Avengers, so Morgan Freeman, first of all, you knew he was going to be calling you, right?
Yeah, he didn't just call out of the blue.
Okay, so you didn't pick
up
the phone.
I wish somebody would. But...
All right, so take me through what it's like when Morgan Freeman calls the house.
It sounds like, hello, Bill. that's not very good, Morgan Freeman. It's pretty much like what you'd think. I've talked to him a couple of times. You know, he's friendly, and he's very professional, but he's not going to be your pretend friend. He's not going to pal around with you.
Mm.
But he'll talk and he'll laugh, and we talked a little about the events in Baltimore and that sort of thing, and that he was interesting on that. And he's a smart guy, and he's been around.
Why was he calling you?
He's in this movie called Five Flights Up that opens next week.
You sound really excited about it.
Yeah, I was more excited about talking to him than I was actually his movie. But that's fine. You know, and that's an interesting thing to me talking to actors. I talked to, he played Harvey Dent. What's his name? Blonde-haired guy, very handsome.
Wait. I'm Googling. Eric, you Googling? We're all Googling. Harvey Dent actor. Hang on. We going to get it? Aaron Eckhart.
I talked to him once, and he said, you know, my friends that are really honest with me will say, you know, you aren't as good in that movie as you are sometimes. And he said that He said, and I tell them, actually, I was, but they couldn't use the takes where I was. Really good, because something happened. And he said, and a lot of actors tell you this, they said, you know, I've never signed on to a bad movie. It wasn't bad when I signed on to it. But so much happens in the process of, you know, getting the thing made and budget cuts and changes and personnel and all that sort of stuff, that by the time the thing gets to the screen, it may bear very little resemblance to the script that you got and were so excited about. Now, sometimes the opposite is true. You know, you might get lucky and something will be really great.
So you don't like his movie. You want to wait and review that next week? Or you want to just get it? Okay.
Or not. We can skip it then too. The Tim and Diane Keaton, it's fine.
So Morgan Freeman did say on the Baltimore media, blank the media, right?
Yeah, he did. And he was not that colorful, you might say, with me.
Yeah.
But he was, but he did talk about it. And what his take was, I should know, he's in an interracial couple in this movie. He's Diane Keaton as his longtime wife. And I said, you know, the movie doesn't make a big deal out of it, but, you know, that's a step forward. And he said, yeah, sure. But he said, you know, I want to ask about Baltimore and all these other, you know, Ferguson and these places. And he said, you know, that's not a race problem. That's a police problem. Hmm. And he said, this is a problem of people who are sworn to protect people and carrying guns not doing what they're supposed to do. And he said, I don't think it's a race thing. It's just people being put down for a long time, you know. And I said, well, how do you fix that? And he said, you take the guns away from them. He said, it would never happen in the United States. But, you know, you look at England or somewhere, and said, you don't have these sort of paramilitary guys out there running around with guns misbehaving.
Really interesting.
He's very thoughtful. I mean, he's in some of those guys, you know, some of those guys, you ask somebody that and they wouldn't touch it with football.
Sure, but he can. Yeah. Avengers, I was supposed to go Tuesday night. You went Tuesday?
I did.
I was supposed to be there, sick as a dog, didn't want to infect the place. My wife was not happy that I didn't go. I saw you took a picture of superheroes going into the movie, which that would have been fun. Was this movie any good? Should people blow off the draft, the Pacquiao fight, all the sports going on to go see Avengers? Or should they merely work it into their weekend planning?
Well, it's a heck of a lot cheaper than the Pacquiao fight. even at today's ticket prices. But, I liked it a lot. But it's not as good as the first one. And that's okay because, you know, the first one, my take on it was, there's much to like about this movie, but there was much to love about the first one. And it's everything all the time. There's literally from the first scene, first frame on, it's just like boom, boom, boom. I mean, the first scene is a giant battle. Now there's still a lot of banter and stuff. Joss Whedon wrote it, you know, he did the first one. And so there's some funny stuff and some smart stuff, but it's too long and but it's massive. I mean, you'll definitely feel like you went to a movie when you get out of it. But it's sort of, you know, they're going to make two more of these, but we're not sure who all is going to be in them. But, you know, to me, it did feel a little bit like, you know, sort of setting up what's to come. I mean, there's another giant battle. And James Spader is great as the voice of Ultron, the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just got that perfect smart aleck, you know, could care less attitude that you need for, like, evidently you need for a villain this smart, you know. And, you know, there's some smart stuff. And, you know, like Robert Downey Jr., like, he's complaining at one point. He says, that's been a long day. I mean, like, Eugene O'Neill long. So, yeah, I mean, he's, you know, there's still some of that funny stuff. And there, in the first one, there were several times where I was just like, whoa, you know, just like taken aback, sort of take your breath away. There were a couple of those moments in this one, not as many. That said, there's a lot of new additions, and my favorite was Scarlet Witch, who's played by Elizabeth Olsen, who is the younger sister of Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Yeah, Mary-Kate and Ashley, sure. Did any of the heroes let you down in the way they came across? I mean, Tony Stark and Thor and Hulk, you know, the actors are one thing, but it may be written in a way that you're like, you know what, this guy kind of lost his edge, or were they all about even?
No, one of the things that happens in the movie with that many people is it's kind of hard to keep all the balls in play at one time. So, you know, they probably to a fault tried to make everything even. But no, I mean, Iron Man, Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. is still the anchor of this thing. I mean, there's a funny line in there where they say, hey, boss, and he points to Captain America and says, he's boss. I'm just the guy that you know, designs everything, pays for everything, and, you know, but he's you know, the anchor of this whole thing, and he still is. And what's kind of interesting about this one is his arrogance, it gets in the way. I mean, it almost, you know, kills the world. But when they get to the fight, I mean, at the final fight, it is remarkably like the fight before. I mean, where there's these seemingly gazillion, you know, non-human creatures, like, trying to get him, trying to kill everybody. And it's like, oh, that again? You know, I mean, I don't know. It's certainly exciting and big and loud, but is, like, isn't there some other kind of fight we could have?
I see. So it's well worth seeing. And,
absolutely.
So let's move from there to the draft. Did you watch the draft last night?
I watched some, and I'm listening. You know, what's interesting is I listened to a lot on the radio.
What did you prefer?
Kind of the radio, because I've seen enough that I can put a picture in my head of what's going on, you know. I mean, and the bit that I saw, I mean, let's face it, it's like the Avengers. It's overdone.
Yeah.
You don't need that many characters. I don't need 107 analysts telling me that, you know, Todd Gurley's knees hurt. I mean, I know that. I can read. I watched that game. Now it's interesting when they start, you know, telling you the machinations of, like, trade possibilities and stuff like that. Now that I kind of like. But then, you know, this year the NFL told them not to tweet out the picks beforehand if they knew them and all that. You know, if I was one of those guys, and if I was one of those networks or one of those publications paying people,
yes,
to know that stuff,
yes,
really, I might take a little issue with that.
Yes, know? It's you know, the heavy-handedness of the NFL is just—I'm just done with it in that regard. It's just everything's got to be on our turf and our terms because we are the big bad NFL, and I just think that that's not the way that it works, and it's not the way it works in life. There's nobody that's bigger than everybody else.
I finally kind of come around to that. At first, I thought, well, maybe Goodell's just trying some different stuff. Maybe this will work out. Maybe that, you know, you set the limits and then you push against them or something like that. You know, but as it turns out, seemingly, it just gets more and more restrictive. And honestly, I mean, I guess they could take your credentials and then you're really screwed. But if somebody told me, you know, you have to cover an event this certain way, I'd say, forget it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and then I look at the players. I'm 50, just hit 50. And so I see Jameis Winston, and I think when he's 50, he's probably going to say, man, that was a really bad choice of me having a red carpet and having a crab leg meal up on social media after I was drafted. I see things. It sounds like old man get off my lawn, but it's like somebody, anybody, tell this kid, just please go underground. Andrew Luck would not do that. Russell Wilson would not do that. Peyton Manning would not do that. You know, I don't get some of the decisions that are made. And then when you see the guy that comes out and handles his business the right way, you admire him that much more because there are so many dumbasses, for lack of a better term. And it's just the way it is.
Well, part of it to me is a culture where since this is very true in basketball, probably more true in basketball than football, since about the eighth grade, you have not heard the word no in any capacity.
Yeah.
And I think it's also a little bit about the people around you that you surround yourself with. And it's like, and it turns out, you know, this crab leg thing turns out to be part of some fundraiser and he was the guy standing in the legs and da da da. But it's like perception is reality the first day of the draft. When you, like,
yeah,
2 hours after you get picked, you know, that's great. Thank the guy, eat your crab legs. I love crab legs, but you don't have to tweet it. I mean, come on. And you kind of wish that, I mean, where. It's like anybody. It's like any kid. I mean, you've got kids. You've got kids in college. They're getting out of college. I mean, they still have a support system. They still need a support system. They don't know every damn thing. Nobody does.
Wow, you sound grumpy. Holy cow, I pushed your button. Jeez, oh, man. And I got to cut you there because we're running long. Just find your way to get me on your calendar sometime, would you? I want you to come host this show someday, and you just always are, you know, too dang busy. So
let's do it.
All right, just find me.
Do it publicly and shame me. And
no, that's what I just did. I don't want to, but I'll let you go. See ya.
Okay.
There's Bill Goody. It's Goody at the movies. Always good to talk to Bill, AZ Central Chief Film and Media Critic Bill Goody-Kuntz. Sports 360, AZ. www.scibunetworkstudios.com. We have content. I mean, we have so much content on our site. We just finished up April. I got to tell you, when I see year-to-year growth, it's big growth. When we first started this little idea to where it is now, we got partners coming up saying, let's extend, let's do this. How about this show? How about if we add this? It's terrific. And it's all because of you guys. Get involved in this. Right? We grind out the content. We have fun. But people are sending us story ideas and that, so I appreciate it. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmatt.